We're talking today with Scott Hayes. Scott is the president-elect of the National Pork Producers Council. And Scott, you had a very unique opportunity, you and your fellow officers and some other folks representing the hog industry, to be a part of watching firsthand, in person, those oral arguments regarding Proposition 12 before the U.S. Supreme Court. Before we get to some of the arguments themselves, give me a little bit of description of what it was like to actually walk in and observe in person, up close, the Supreme Court justices and their conversation.
You know, Ron, I went into that thinking this is probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I'm convinced now for sure that it is. You know, it was, just one of those moments where you kind of get chills when you walk in and you think, am I really here? A pig farmer from Missouri, getting the opportunity to sit in front of these nine judges in this building that's really the basis for what our country is founded on and stands on. It really was a really kind of emotional moment, just a wonderful experience to set in there. And then, for it to be an issue that I've worked on from the very beginning, shortly after I got on the national board is when all this started. So I feel like I'm getting to see it all the way through and including that part of the process. So a unique opportunity, a wonderful opportunity, and I'm appreciative of the producers, in this country to afford me that opportunity.
Definitely, you don't see too many opportunities for U.S. agriculture to be front and center when it comes to the Supreme Court itself and oral arguments. Just a week earlier, we had the arguments regarding the waters of the U.S., the WOTUS conversation as well. Pork producers very interested in that. But for 2 weeks in a row, agriculture has been a part of their conversation, and that is pretty incredible, to say the least. Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned the fact that you've really been on the board while we've been watching this thing blow up out in California, the actual election or the actual vote on Proposition 12, which established these rules that seemingly tell every hog farmer, yourself and all the other hog farmers all across the United States, how they have to raise pigs if they want to do business with anybody in California. Walk me through, as you've recollect this whole conversation to this point, and how we've got to this particular juncture, this particular time before the Supreme Court.
Sure, Ron. The way I see it, California is regulated the pig industry out of the state. So 99.8% of the U.S. pigs are raised someplace else. That's not by accident. There used to be a pig industry in California. And so now they're trying to regulate the rest of us. There's kind of a movement that, says, don't California my state. Well, I take that a little more personal and say, don't California my industry. And that's really what they're trying to do. They're trying to impose these arbitrary rules and on the rest of us, touting that it's healthier or better for the animal. And it's just not. This is a bunch of people that don't know anything about raising pigs. If you listen to the veterinarians and the university people and pig farmers themselves, who are really the experts on how to take care of animals. That's what we get up every morning trying to figure out, how we can make the pig's life better. I grew up being told all the time, the better it is for the pig, the better it is for us. And that's still what we live by. But unfortunately, we got some folks in California that don't like what we do, don't think people ought to enjoy the product that we produce, and they're going to try to take us all down this path where we don't get to enjoy it.
As we've come up to this actual appeal that went before the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court itself, tell me, what were the real arguments that were put forward before the justices? Kind of boil them down from what you heard of this earlier this week in regards to what the industry, pork producers, American Farm Bureau, and others are trying to tell the Supreme Court to, but you know, most I guess as a priority consider.
Yeah, that was really interesting, you know, because California's initial statements was animal welfare and human health, and they didn't have the data to prove either one of those things. And in fact, the data says just the opposite. So all California was left with was they're trying to impose their morals on the rest of the country. And so a couple of surprising moments in the hearing is when a couple of the justices ask them, you know, how do you reconcile if your state's morals are different than another state's morals? Chief Justice Roberts asked specifically, you know, North Carolina, if their morals say we're going to feed the poor an affordable product, how does California and North Carolina reconcile that with, you know, when California's morals says, you know, you have to raise pigs a certain way, no matter what the cost is. And Justice Jackson asked a similar question, saying, well, what if Texas, for instance, says you can't ship any almonds into our country, knowing that almost all the almonds are produced in California? If the company participates in gay and lesbian activities that we know companies in California have to participate in. That one was really surprising, you know, and the California lawyers just didn't have an answer for that. So it was very obvious that this really is a question of can one state impose its moral values on other states? And I think we're going to find out that they can't, because what a mess that would create all across the country, no matter which side of this issue you're on. You'd have to see where that would just be a disaster.
As you probably had a chance to have conversations with the lawyers representing MPPC and AFBF, as they came out of the courtroom, you really don't know necessarily what's inside the mind of the justices themselves. But what was the feeling? Did they have, you know, they feel they got their points across?
Yeah, we were excited. The lawyers were excited about, you know, how it went. Obviously, you know, for a lawyer to walk in that building and get to argue, that's like going to the Super Bowl or the World Series for a ball player, you know. So obviously those guys went in very prepared, tried to think of every question that was going to be asked. And so, you know, they had some opinions, some preconceived thoughts of, you know, how things were going to go. And they were excited when they came out. I can tell you, just sitting there in the crowd listening, you know, not knowing, not being as prepared as the lawyers, obviously, there was a time or two that, boy, I don't know if that justice is with us or not. But then by the end of the day, or the end of the hearing, I had that same feeling that, hey, we did our job here. They get it. They understand where we're coming from, and they understand the adverse effects this is going to have on the entire country. It's bigger than just the pig industry. It's going to affect so many other things as well.
And that's what we've heard from a lot of other folks just within agriculture. The beef industry issued a very strong statement in support of MPPC, and others have said similar things, that this is so important. I mean, you know, we're talking about the ability for us to be able to produce a safe, affordable food supply that is, takes into account that we take good care of our resources. We've got to have the opportunity to be able to do what we think's best in that regard. Is that kind of your feeling as you've walked away from all of this?
Yeah, going into this, you know, we had lots of friends. We had 26 state attorney generals. We had the Biden administration on our side. Leading retail food and business groups on our side, because a lot of those businesses are outside of ag even, and they realize that this just has a detrimental effect to business across the country. But But I think we also, you're right, we was able to get our message out, and that agriculture knows what's best for agriculture. And we're, you know, we're doing it to feed people. You know, we're doing what, I guess I like to say, we have the best food system in the history of the world. Nobody in the history of the world, not even kings and queens, have had it as, have ate as good, or have had the opportunity to have, you know, the variety of food, the quality of food that we have today in this country. You know, even though we're not perfect, we're certainly a long ways from needing to throw it out and start over. So appreciate our, you know, our other friends, the beef folks that you mentioned, but and so many others, you know, that was with us on this, because it's important that we're able to continue to provide food for everybody in this country, no matter, you know, what your economic status is, that you're going to have a good, affordable protein source.
I know that the lawyers and other folks that obviously have been working with this case, they've got, you know, a little bit of understanding of the process that now goes, you know, we go through. Did they offer any guesses as to when they thought that the court justices might go ahead and issue an opinion? I know a lot of folks have said early part of next year.
Yeah, we don't have any real insight, you know, that would be specific to this particular case. All we can go by is what normally happens at the Supreme Court. You know, there's a process that they go through, you know, and my understanding, there's, you know, there's conversation between justices, you know, so yeah, we really don't know. But we would assume, you know, shortly after the first of the year, that we would get a decision on this.